Praise God. Well, this morning we're going to share a few things the Lord spoke to me with dealing with the nation, the church, the election. There's some things that He said, especially for ourselves. It's one of the things, you know, there's a lot of people, discouragement and stuff going on in people, and they're discouraged. You know, it's just like Jesus died. One of the problems that we face in our nation, we need to understand this. I don't think most Republicans are any more Christian than Democrats are Christian. You know, basically in our nation, the majority of the people, you know, who wanted Trump to lead, the majority of the people, they wanted him to win, but they did nothing spiritually. You know, going to one of his events was not changing the spiritual climate. You know, backing, sending him money. Now, you know, number one, we have to do natural things. You know, we do natural things. You do those. But if the spiritual is not done, it don't matter what all the rest of is done. We need to understand what we're dealing with in our nation. And the church doesn't understand what they're dealing with. And there is deep-seated corruption. There's deep-seated lawlessness. I mean, let me just put it this way. Washington is a sewer. In the Democrats and Republicans, it's a sewer. You know, like Mike brought up this morning, this thing happens with Trump. Where are the voice of the Republicans at? Hey, they love their jobs. They're just like the Democrat. Their job means more than you. They aren't there, most of them, to represent you. Once they get there, they find out the power, all the perks that they get, all the laws they don't have to obey that you do. And they change. And folks, that's our fault. We kept voting for these morons. You know? We love this so-called system that we have. Our forefathers didn't set up the system we have. The devil has. The system we got today isn't the one our forefathers set up. This system was set up by the guys in Washington. They decide the rules and laws of how they operate. They decide those. They weren't in the Constitution, didn't decide them. They decide how the House and Senate's going to run and what they do when they want to change things. You know, they just want to do it. I mean, they can just jump over things. They don't have to pay any attention to us. They don't have to ask our vote. They don't have to ask for a thing. They can vote themselves raises. They don't have to ask the people a thing. They can just do what they want. But we've done this. We've done it. You know, let's not throw rocks at them. We've done it. We haven't made them answer to anything. We've allowed the corruption to run, and here it is. Now, if you want to deal with corruption, we're going to talk about some things, because dealing with corruption is never pretty. Because when you deal with corruption, you deal with the hierarchy. And to deal with the hierarchy never gets pretty. And it won't get pretty for us. It won't get pretty for us. And so there's things that we need to know. One of the things we need to know is just one of the things that the Lord dealt with me about. We have in Amos, the third chapter, verse 7, a scripture that you hear said a lot. It says, surely the Lord does nothing unless He reveals His secrets to His servants, the prophets. And there's a truth to that in the New Testament, but it's not the truth of the Old Testament. The Old Testament, people use that. Is number one, is like, in other words, God reveals His secrets to the prophets, but not to you. One of the things that the Lord's dealt with me about is one of the problems we have had in this election is the fact as people have followed the prophets and haven't listened to God for themselves. They didn't find out to hear what God was saying. You know, they just listened to this guy saying this and this guy saying that and so-and-so said this. We should have learned, we should have learned before. We should have learned from the second Obama election where all the prophets were saying he wasn't going to be elected and he was. And we went right back and swallowed it again. When God, now understand this, God wants you informed and understanding what's happening going on. God desires for you to know. What is the job of the Holy Spirit? He's to take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to us. He's supposed to show us things to come. I realized this, and I told the Lord I'm guilty as charged. There's some things he tried to show me before it was happened, you know, and I just sort of bypassed it on my confession. Don't worry, you did too, so don't look at me. There's things he wanted to show me. God, his great desire is to set things in order. He wants to set things in order. God is fed up with what's going on. He's fed up with it. He's fed up with a lot about America. He's fed up with it. Now, we need to understand this. This is why the church can have a very difficult time. We want to stay spiritual. We don't want to stay carnal, because I'm going to tell you what, the future's getting shook up. The future's going to get shook up. And I want to tell you what, when Jesus, back in 1950, told Kenneth Hagin what's going to happen to his people, he said many would turn, they ain't going to follow him. Many ain't going to be ready for his coming. That's what he said. And I understand why. Because I'm going to tell you, things are going to get shook up. And people who don't follow God very well, they're going to flow with whatever the system is. They're just going to try to keep their head above water. And that's what they're, whatever the system wants, they're going to give it. That's what they're going to do. Most people are following the system. And we have that today. People will just follow the system. Whatever works, I'll just get into it. Well, this is the way they're doing it. So we just jump in on board because, you know, trust God. Well, yeah, I trust the Lord. But, you know, the government's much bigger, you know, and I just... See, people live by what's in their eyes. Now, one of the things is the Bible says to us, and the Lord told me to read this, this is Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." He didn't say as many as are led by prophets. So one thing, see, I learned from Kenneth E. Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said the prophet's ministry today is not the one to tell you stuff you don't know. You're supposed to know. The prophet's ministry today is a confirmation ministry. It's a confirmation ministry. You know, the prophets, you know, and we have people saying, well, you know, that, and yes, is, I have things. I mean, I have a thing from Ken Kasich, that he sent me. I'd sent to Mike about the election. And I hope these people that are saying it, I hope every bit of it's true. I hope every bit of it's true of it getting turned around. But it might not get pretty, and you may not like it at all, getting it turned around. I'm just telling you this. It's going to get ugly. Because it's going to step right in. If this thing, if what is revealed is, number one, I know this is right now in Washington from what the Lord showed me and some things. And I saw, and I just put some things aside, you know. You know, you want to stay on the positive side of things, you know, and I'm going to tell you this. This is one of the faults of the charismatics. We ignore things that don't go along with our confession. We need to, you know, because we have our belief. The Lord's been trying to show stuff. It's number one, there is definitely, you know, even in Trump's own administration, there are people who are working against him. And the Attorney General is one of them. He has been working against Trump. He has made it look good like he's trying to help him. But isn't it interesting? Before the election, he won't bring out anything dealing with the results about the Russian investigation. Before the election? Because what happens? Well, if Biden becomes president, the Attorney General changes and all of that investigation goes away. It's going to be just like it always has been. Nobody in Washington gets convicted of anything. All of them get to break the law and all of them get to walk away. That's what they've been doing. See, Washington is lawless. Washington is lawless. It is a lawless place. You know, I just really like that the Attorney General just put, I forget how many millions of dollars has been dedicated to fighting crime in the cities. What about Washington? You know why? Because they'll lock him up! Look, all these guys are buddies down here. They all deal with each other. One guy can't throw the other guy. A corrupt man can't throw another corrupt man under the bus because they're going to find your corruption. Dear God. Dear God. You know, it's funny now. It's from the standpoint. I can say this personally. The Lord never told me that Donald Trump was going to win the election. He never said anything to me. He never said such things. I talked to him about it. He was silent on that. He spoke to me about certain things. But you know, unless he said something, I understand how we walk. We walk just by what we know. So I'm walking by what I know. I'm setting my faith to believe God hasn't said. He hasn't told me. I thought it was interesting because going down to Randall Greer never spoke and said to the Lord, because he usually does say something. But one thing is I found out, he is cautious, because during back in the Obama, in the second one, he was saying that you know, Obama wasn't going to be voted in. But well, I will say this for him, when the election didn't turn out, he was the first one to open his mouth. He said, I missed it. And he said about what the Lord said. And all these other prophets, I never heard one of them say they missed it. See, we need to understand this. The church is a sore too. The church is a sore full of prophets who talk and then never clean up after themselves. They just go on and prophesy some more stuff. They never stop. They never stop and say, hey, we missed it. They never stop. I've seen prophets, these big name prophets, time to time, prophesy stuff, never come pass. Never comes to pass. They say these things, it don't happen. Do they stop and say they didn't? You never hear that. You don't hear that. See, one of the things that in his, from a scriptural standpoint. Now, we always use the 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. This is one of the things that the Lord spoke to me concerning about America. Oh, he said they prayed, but he said they never repented. They've never repented. We need to understand, there's a lot that God ain't listening to. They're not repenting of what they've done. People in the church are not repenting of what they've done. I found this interesting because Randall Greer, he just sent a thing out this week, and the whole thing it is a prayer at the end of asking God to forgive us of our sin. It wasn't talking about us. See, we want to pray for America. There needs to be repentance first in the church, and there has been no repentance in the church. The church keeps going on, just like it was. We're the self-righteous. God, now I want you to understand this. God loves the church. He loves His people. But God wants to set things in order. And I want things set in order. I'm tired of this junk. And if I need to repent, man, what do I need to do, Lord? Let's get her fixed. Number one, you and I want to be standing before God with a clear faith in God. Not hindered by unrepentance, and having, like, we're like somebody special. We're not special. We need God. We're in a battle we can't win without God. God must be the one in the forefront of this thing. We can't win it without you. I don't care how much money you send, how many votes you do, and that we're in a battle that requires God. This is a fight about good and evil. This is what it is we'll fight with. And I'm going to tell you what, the enemy is greater than us. That's what Jehoshaphat, the Lord showed me yesterday, had me go over and read again about Jehoshaphat. You know, when Jehoshaphat, when the armies of Mount Seir and Moab came, and Ammon came against him and that stuff. In 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, the Lord showed me this, and I'll tell you, it just quickened in me. 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, and I'm going to start at verse 10, and it says, and now here, this is Jehoshaphat talking to God. He said, and here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let us let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they have turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. Listen what he says. Verse 12. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is come against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. See, we need to come. When he said in Chronicles, we're supposed to humble ourselves. We need to come to God and say, God, I'm knocked out. This battle, I can't. There's no way we can, I don't have the strength nor the power to go against the enemy that we're facing. God, we need you. We haven't come to that. The church in America hasn't come to that. It has too big of buildings, too big of wallets, too big of everything to come to the place and say, God, if you don't step in, nothing changes. Nothing changes. It's going to stay the same. And we're going to be overrun. We've lost the humility in the church of our need. You know, and I'm not knocking anybody else. I had to repent. Dear God. I look and say, man, God, have you got enough of God edge yet? With all I can do? I don't stop. See, you know, I can do so much without him. Without Ed, you can do nothing. You know, it's like, oh my God. We got to come to the place, God, we're in desperation. We need your help. We're living in a land of injustice. You know, that statue of that lady with the blindfold on, this is blind justice. And what it shows is a scale, you know, all this is equal. It's not anymore. It's blind justice. It means it don't see no more. It don't care what goes on. It is blind. It's blind to good, but it ain't blind to evil. It supports it. You know, to give people justice, we've done all kinds of things in our nation to give the guy who's accused. But the guy who's righteous, we give nothing. We are the nation of the upholder of the wicked. A guy comes illegal into this country and has more rights than I got. We're a sick bunch of why isn't there an outrage even among the Republicans? Why isn't there an outrage? They're not, because they're part of the system. They're part of the evil. And we, the church, have helped them carry out their evil. We've helped them. We've supported them. We haven't gotten in their face and told them about the scumbags that they are. Oh, they say all kind of nice stuff to us, but they don't do anything down there. Why don't they get it? Where's their voice in Washington? Why aren't they standing up? Why aren't they bringing stuff to halt in the Senate and the House and standing up and rebuking? Oh, I don't want them to tell me I'm out of line. Oh, we have these rules. And these rules say the criminal and the lawless, you know, people, they get to rule and reign. And so we can't go, this is just the way that it is. This is what we have to work with. Then let's burn it down. We already have lawlessness. Why are we raging at the people on the streets when Washington is the reason it's on the streets? And the houses and the senates of the states. Where are the Republicans? Where are the voices of the Republicans in our own state? Where are their voices of what goes on? Oh, they're really good people. You let somebody stand up and you know, we had some of them stand up here. How many Republicans? We hold the House and the Senate here. How many of them stood up for our county when our county stood? Oh, coward Lancaster County folded immediately down there with all them Christians. All the cowardice down there. Christianity has become full of cowards. That's what they are. They're full of cowards. This don't sound nice, but I'm going to tell you, God ain't happy. And he told me he ain't happy. He's dealing with things, and we need to start dealing with things. We need to get them out. We need to begin where we're not afraid. We're going to have to preach the gospel. We're going to have to preach the gospel, tell the truth. We're going to tell the homosexual they're going to hell. We're going to have to do it. Why? They ain't ever going to get saved unless somebody preaches a gospel. And in the church world in America today, they ain't getting saved because nobody's going to preach the gospel because we're afraid to preach the gospel to them. They'll get upset and they'll tell the news media and they'll criticize us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God wants to speak to us. God wants to talk to our hearts. God wants to speak to you personally. You know, thank God with my minister saying things, but God needs to speak to you. You need to hear. You got to walk by faith on what's in your heart. You can't walk by faith just because they said it. Do you know that that's what God's saying, what they say? Do you know? You have to know that. See, I can accept things. Jeremiah, if you go over and read, Lord had me over reading Jeremiah. See, I get to read all the fun books. God took me over to Jeremiah because in Jeremiah, he talked about the prophets that prophesy out of their own heart. Kenneth Hagin used to talk about that. He said, you can get things in your own heart that you have and you believe and you get them in your own heart. And he said, ministers do this all the time. They speak and prophesy out of their own heart and not by the Holy Spirit. He said, it ain't what the Spirit's saying. They put things in their heart, in their beliefs, and they say them. And we have to watch that. We always had to. That's why he used to say, you never prophesy unless the anointing's there to do it. See, if you learn to do that, you don't prophesy from your own heart. One of the things that the Lord showed me is this. We're taking much of what's said, which is deals with the church, and we're tying it to the nation. It's not to the nation. It's to the church. The glory's in the church, not the nation. The church demonstrates the glory to the nation. We're trying to bring it in. It's not going to. We're going to deal in the areas of this, dealing with judgment and justice and unrighteousness. But on the day of, on Tuesday, November 3rd, you know, I had went to vote, and I went and voted, and I came back home, and I was praying, and I was talking to the Lord about the election, and He didn't talk. When I'd ask him about, you know, the outcome of the election, he didn't say, wouldn't say anything. He just said this to me. On the day of the election, the Lord said to me that he's tired of those who have continually risen up against his plan and his purposes. And he said, and they will pay a heavy price. Now, I knew this when he said it. I knew this just, you know, sometimes he says thing and you just know stuff. And I thought, boy, this is strange. Why did he say, I'm asking him about the election and he says this to me. And I knew he was saying this. He's talking about the church and the world, not just the church. In other words, there's a heavy price going to be paid in the church. There's judgment coming. Just as Washington is a sewer, the church is a sewer. And God's going to clean it out. Man with their ideas and man's plans, stopping the plan of God. Stopping God's plan. God's going to weed things out. Now, he said this to me yesterday, and I just want to put this down. Now, God said to me, he said this, I gave America a reprieve. Now, do you know what a reprieve is? In case you don't, a reprieve is a delay the punishment of someone such as a condemned prisoner. To give relief or deliverance to for a time. He said, I gave America a reprieve. I sent, this is what he said, I sent them a president to bring blessing to the nation and to set things in order. Look how they have treated him. In the way they have treated him, they have treated me. He ain't happy. He ain't happy. There are many, many Christians who God is downright mad at. It's not going to be pretty. You know, on the day of the election, Jonathan Cohen had called for, you know, a day of prayer and fasting during the day of the election. And anyhow, if you go online, you can easily find it, what he said and what he spoke about Christians who were voting for the Democrats, for the Democratic Party. I'm going to tell you what. It wasn't a pretty prophecy. But he's right. I'm going to tell you what. We got loads and loads of Christians that ain't nothing but a bunch of hellions. They have just gotten over following the devil, voting for murderers, voting for homosexuality, lesbianism, voting for Sodom and Gomorrah. Boy, we want, because we're just so loving today. We're just so loving, I'll tell you. It ain't going to turn out pretty. Things are not going to turn out nice. God's upset. God is upset. You know, it's just like with Randall Greer when Obama, first time he was voted in office, and the night before the election, Randy was at a church and they were having a prayer meeting about the election that day. And Randy said he had never asked, people had asked him who was going to be president. He said, I hadn't really asked. And he said, no, that one happened like the week before. And the Lord told him, he was one, he said, President Obama. And he said, man, I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to hear that one. But anyhow, he said, so they were at this one and they were praying. And he said he was praying about the election because he said, man, they wanted to turn that around. They didn't want that going that direction. They wanted to turn, and they're praying for it back and forth. And he said, I was standing on the platform of the church just walking back and forth and praying. And he said, I went to one side of the platform and he said, when I turned around, he said, I had a vision. And he said, it was like Jesus was sitting on a throne and Jesus leaned forward and pointed a finger at me and said, don't you talk to me about the election again. He said, I don't want to hear it. He said, you tell the people they're going to have Samuel, 1 Samuel, the 6th chapter. You tell them that's what they're going to. Well, you know what that tells you? You go over there and read it. It tells you all the things that the king's going to take from you. And it says on top of that, at that time when you pray, I won't answer you. And when the second election came up, Randy Greer asked, he said, I prayed and sought the Lord. Why, Lord? We prayed and prayed and prayed. Why did Obama get in again? And the Lord said, I told you at the last election why. He said, go read 1 Samuel 6 chapter. Go read. And he said, I went and read it, and it says at the end of the chapter, you'll pray and ask me, and I won't hear you. And the Lord said to him, I let the people have what they wanted. We suffered. We suffered. Now, I think some of our suffering, I want you to go, because, you know, this can all sound like doom and gloom, but I'm going to tell you what. You need to get mad. I'm tired of flaky, little, wimpy, whiny Christians. I'm just fed up with this stuff. Man, we got to get some fight in us. And especially, you know, God wants an army. An army is not made up of cute little wimpy, whiny, you know. Nylon panty things that run around. Got some warriors, you know? You know, I'm tired of the way things are. I'll tell you what, I'd rather have us collapse than keep going. If we're going to keep going, what's the purpose? People just lock it away. Well, we're so worried about something might happen. I want to make something happen. We need to set off a spiritual atomic bomb to blow things up. We need to be, if God gave us the president who was supposed to be a bull in the china closet, that means we're supposed to be a bull in the china closet and quit being this cute little thing. We need to stop it. The church won't stand. And we need to come to the place that we're fed up with this stuff. We need to come. I believe we've put up with it because we just had to put up with it. We've allowed it. We haven't gotten mad about it. We haven't got earnest before God and said, God, we don't let this alone till we turn this thing around. No, people just, well, you know, I had to talk to God for 25 minutes here 2 weeks ago. So that was, you know, I'd really like to see Trump get in office. I would... I sent him a check and told him I liked him. Yep. We did all those things. But there's an earnestness that must take place. I want you to go over with me. As the Lord was talking to me all morning here, I was walking back and forth here and praying. And go over to Luke, the 18th chapter. Luke, the 18th chapter. We want to look here concerning the unjust judge. See, the baby's happy. He don't care. See, he doesn't know how dumb the rest of us are. That kid's just having a good time. Look at that smiling. Oh, hallelujah. We're too brilliant. I'll tell you, I just... I'm so dumb I'm happy. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I ain't going under. And the devil ain't taking over either. Hallelujah. He'd have to take me over and he can't do it. I ain't going to let him. We ain't worrying about this stuff. But we have here in Luke, the 18th chapter. And starting verse 1, it says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, which came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God and regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, he said, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming she worry me. Now he's talking about, this is the way, from a standpoint, he's talking about unjust sinners and stuff. You know, in a sense, this is what we have. You know, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. This is the way, this is the American system. This is the American way of life. This is the American way. Every place works like that. Every place works in that way. You know, any place ever. I watch the church world does it. I watch you go to business. It's the same thing. You get employees complaining all the time and they turn around and they start paying all this attention to them. In the church, they just make ministry just the complainer. Just trying to do, make them, keep them happy. You know, doing stuff, trying to keep them instead of walking up and say, why don't you run out in front of a car and let the rest of us alone and keep us happy? You know, churches try to keep those people. I like to tell them to leave. You know, if you don't like it, go. I mean, there's all kind of other places that run you out too. They'll get fed. Let them go over there. Go bother the Methodists. They need some excitement in their church. We're not sure if most of them are breathing. We don't even know. But you know, this is what you do in the church. It's about somebody gets to be a griper or a complainer, but in the world, is it? Because the world system's in the church. The people brought it in. So that's one thing. When the Lord told me to start a church, when the Lord spoke to me, He said this to me, and He said, "You don't allow the spirits of the community to get in the church." I said, "Boy, that's going to make people mad." But he had a vision, and he showed me ministers that he bought in the community and how he bought them here with a vision to do something, but they end up following the vision of the people. Because the people come in, they want to control. That's what they want to do. Most, you know, I even found ministers. A lot of times ministers, they don't want to follow God. They want to go the easy way. Well, what other people think about it? We're afraid if we do things, trouble might arise. Trouble's gonna arise. Life gets ugly. You don't want to grow when people who are the troublemakers get to call the shots, because you'll have a church full of troublemakers and boy, that'll be pretty. And you're trying to appease them all. That's why ministers end up out of the ministry. That's why the average minister don't last in the ministry long. Because you can't stand it. Because you end up, I'm following God. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow God the best I understand and know. You know, that's just what you got to do. Because you can't keep everybody happy to what they want to do. It'll never work. Man, you can't. That's why families fall apart and don't work. Everybody's trying to appease everybody. There isn't a mom and dad anymore. They're not there anymore. It's about these kids that are just so wonderful that don't, you know, that need to be hung in a closet somewhere, you know. Lock the door on them a while. No, we just... after trying to keep that kid happy. You know, our youngest daughter, when she's little, she's moody all the time. I'll tell you, I made her life miserable. I did. Because she tried to make everybody else's miserable all the time. But I'll tell you what, I learned how to make hers miserable. She didn't like to be around me when she was in any misery. She stayed away from her dad. I'd tell her flat out, you want happy? You get out of my presence. You get upstairs to your room. You don't hang around. I don't want you near me. You want to play miserable? You go. You know, life stuff happens. I can't carry around everybody else. And you let them do it when they're little, they're going to do it when you're old. Then somebody else has to put up with your stupidity that you let go. You don't do that. You know, I just tell our kids, you know, you're not going to grow up, you know, like the rest of society grows up. You're not going to grow up that way. I used to tell them that when they were little kids. I ain't going to allow you to. You're not going to get away with the other ones. I don't care what your friends are doing. It's what your daddy says you're going to do is what you're going to do. I'm God in the house. He said, yeah, well, I'm old enough to make my own decisions. Okay. $1,000 a month rent. Okay. You're old. You can do anything you want here. See, I'm paying the bills. I get in charge of everything. There is no say here. You pay the bills. You can say what you want. You come and pay my bills. Hey, I'll let you talk. Until you're going to do that, forget it. Hell, put it in its place. They know where it's at. You know. But you know what? But understand this. You know, when I go to my family's house, when I go to my daughters and them, their house, that's their house. They run it their way. They're in charge. I don't stick my nose in it. That's their place. It's their authority. But see, we don't have. Today, there's such broken authority. You get these knuckleheads won't raise their kids right at home, and their kids get older, then they try to stick their nose in their marriages and stuff like that. We got such squirrely people today that are so dumb, bunch of dumb as a stick. Don't know where the lines are or nothing in authority. We have everything so messed up, and the church is just as messed up as any other group. It's all just messed up. Say, we're trusting the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're talking about a guy here. And what he needs is somebody to come and get on his back to get something done. But now listen what Jesus says. Now this is a parable. This is something for us to understand. This is about the kingdom. How does the kingdom work? It says, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Now, listen to what he said. And he said, shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, did you notice this? This is not talking about being nice and sweet. It's talking about bringing vengeance. God said this is vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I've had the Lord over times deal with me about things and people have done stuff. And the Lord spoke to me, you know, and in things and that stuff and said, well, you know, the Bible tells me I'm not supposed to avenge myself. And you know what? I didn't. I went to the Lord about it, and the Lord avenged me. There's things happened to them because of what they did. Here we find where Jesus tells us, see, when things are unjust and things are, we're supposed to be praying and asking for justice. And we haven't been. This is part of why what has been going on. We haven't been standing before God. The church hasn't been praying about justice. We're trying to be sweet and nice. We need justice. And you know what justice is going to bring? Judgment. And we don't like to talk about that because judgment makes us uncomfortable, and it will. Do you want things to change? Then things got to get uncomfortable. God has let the devil bring discomfort to us. We spent this year, this COVID thing. Look at how many times hurricanes have hit America. Look at all the fires and the flooding we've had. We've never had this much at one time, all this going on. And the church is over here. Don't even notice it. All we see is election. We don't notice. God is trying to shake things up. Instead of getting on his side, we're against him, trying to bring it to a halt. There needs to be justice. There is no. The righteous are overrun and the wicked rule and reign. And we got this complaint. And if we can just get the right guy in office, the right one is in office. His name is Jesus Christ, the head of the church. and then vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Have we asked him to repay? No. We pray all the religious stuff. We just listen. We're all guilty. We've just listened to the prophet instead of listening to God. And I said, Lord, guilty is charged. Guilty is charged. We need justice in America again. It's not here. It's not this land. See, we like to actually say America is a beacon. America is a sewer. Now, I want you to understand this. This goes back into the 1990s, and Oral Roberts' vision. Oral Roberts had a vision, and in the vision, the Lord showed him. He said, and showed him a ship that went out, and he said, this great ship went out from America. He said, America used to send out a ship, he said, of the gospel that went to other nations. And he says, now all America does is send their garbage out to the nations. That was in the 1990s. Did the ministers, I mean, there was men on the program were sitting these major ministers, prophets, sitting there, heard those things, but did they ever get in line to preach any of that stuff? No. And I'm just not knocking them. We've let things go, and we've let things go, and we've let things go. We've let injustice run and run and run. Why? Because we fear judgment. Judgment. Without judgment, there will be no justice. There will be no justice. We're afraid things are going to get hurt. They are going to get hurt. But things get put in order again so the blessing of God can flow again. That's what it's about. It's about bringing. And so we think God is bad. You know, we don't want this. His plan, that's too hard. His plan's the best. If he needs to tear the walls down in Washington, then tear every wall down. What does he need? Lord God, we need justice in this land again. Because we need a move of the Spirit so bad in America. We need again where people fear God. I know America's pagan because the people have no fear. We get people ride on the streets, they have no fear of government. That's a good sign. Of lawlessness is reigning and ruling that you don't have to worry about. There's no fear of God. No man worries about God. They have no fear of the God that they can see around them because they know government's not going to do nothing. Government isn't. You know, and people, now I want you to think about this. I mean, people sit around. Now, we talk about this and everybody says they feel sorry for the police. I'm sorry, if I was a policeman, I'd quit if I was the guys in here. I don't understand these policemen. Why do you stand out there? Why do you go out and go into these riot things and you're not allowed to touch them and stuff and they throw rocks at you and do it and you keep listening in the mirror and they say things like, well, this is our job, and they tell us, what do you mean this is your job? What is it about being right and doing right? Where have you lost it? You know, when the Nazi soldiers were killing the Jews, that was their answer. I was commanded to do it. Yeah, I was just commanded. What is Americans turned into? What have we turned into? What have we become? I'd walk off the street. Where are the people? They say, well, you know, there's good people out there. Where are the good people going to stand up? That's all America's done is run around the world fighting in countries where the people won't stand up. And we send our men to die. It is such a perverted, sick world, folks. It's a perverted, sick world. God is fed up with it. But you know what? He'll let it go as long as we do. We haven't bound it. Let me just say, read some scriptures here. These will be interesting to you. Because, you know, there's been things over the last number of months I've been meditating on. Because, you know, we have scriptures and we say about these scriptures and we use them when they're convenient for us. But I don't think we always think about what they say. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, there's very familiar scriptures in the second chapter, starting in verse 1. It says this, therefore I exalt, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made to all men. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Now we read this one. And we use those, they're used constantly about we're supposed to be praying for our government, praying for things. But now, this same Apostle Paul in his letter to Timothy wrote in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Let's go down this. Now he wrote this. See, on this side of earth, pray, and this is what, hey, pray and everything will work out good. That's what we were told. Now Paul writes in 2 Timothy, in the third chapter, and says this. But know this, in first verse, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and they will be American citizens, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captive of gullible women loaded down with sin, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then he goes on to speak about Jannes and Jambres. He said, who resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, and theirs also, as theirs also was. So in the last days, it tells us this, if we pray, it's going to get real cute out. You see, this one thing the Lord dealt with me. We're not dealing with, we don't deal with scriptures. We slide them apart. We don't, now think about this, the Apostle Paul. Do you think Apostle Paul prayed for the governments? Do you think he did? Do you think, now we know this, he told Timothy, Timothy's a pastor of a very large church in Ephesus, so he tells him that, to do it, to pray. So you know what? Everything went good for Paul, didn't it? Huh. But now we've been told, now notice it, what we're told didn't work for Paul, that we were told was going to work for us. Why wouldn't it work for Paul? Isn't it interesting this? The church in the book of Revelation, the church at Philadelphia, has no rebuke from God from anything. And you know what? They're persecuted. They're having a hard time. See, I thought it was going to all turn out good if we prayed for the government. You know, the scripture doesn't say what it says there to people. I want you to see this. Because when we go back and we look at this, it tells us, we pray, it says we pray for everyone. We're supposed to pray for all men, everybody. He mentions specifically, he says kings and for all those who are in authority. So we live, why? We live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. It's so you and I live in a life. It doesn't say that everything's going to run nice. Everything's going to work good. Is everything working good for the people in China? The Christians? Is it? What's wrong? I've read books about in China how they pray for the government. And they've just been oppressed. But they pray for the government. You know what? But I found this out about them. They live strong Christian lives. This is about our life. It's not the way your country turns out. It's in the middle of trouble, you live a quiet, peaceful life. You're quiet on the inside. You're not an uproar like everybody else. You're strong on the inside. You got something on the inside. See, I know we don't have that in America. I don't care how much they pray. I've all these things, a minister's talking about how things, the election's goes the opposite way, and just hordes and hordes of Christians are contacting them. Whoa, what's going on? What's the matter? See, quiet and peaceful. They expect everything to turn out in life like they want it because they prayed. They think prayer is so I can control everybody around me and can control everything. That's not what it's about. Other people have wills. They can do things whether you like it or not. Whether God likes it or not. The day of judgment will come and they will be judged. But, you know, just think about this. The devil's moved off the face of the earth during the tribulation period, and we find this said, that Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron. And the ones who won't come up to Jerusalem of different countries, he's going to shut the rain off on them. Now, are they doing it because the devil's making them do it? No! People decide to rebel. People still have wills, even though the devil isn't behind everything. Now, it sure helps to get the devil stopped, but I'm going to tell you, ungodly people, you know how they're going to act? Ungodly! If you could stop the devil and I'd stop all the bad, we wouldn't even need salvation, would we? They still need to get born again. Hallelujah. But God wants you to live a quiet and peaceful life. God wants you to be in a place of rest. God wants, because number one, you will never get your prayers answered. You don't. You don't ever get your person. If you're in turmoil with all these people that are all upset about this election, they don't realize. They just shut their prayer life off. They just shut that thing right down. Why? Because they're worrying and fearing and fretting about stuff. Their discomfort. You can't go in faith when you're like that. It'll never work for you. See, I don't care what's going on. I'm in faith with God. Whatever turns out of this thing, whatever happens to this thing, I'm with God. I'm with God in this thing, over my head, in it with God. I am not going to change directions. Number one, I ain't going to, if anything would need corrected, it would have to be from my side. It couldn't be for His. He never misses it. So, I want to find out what His plan, but number one, I'm going to still see from the standpoint, I can still walk in faith, you know, but there's one thing I want out of this thing. If justice doesn't come out of this stuff, it doesn't matter if Trump gets to be president. It's going to be hell. For another 4 years. It's going to be hell. For another 4 years. I would rather have hell getting judged and stuff going on than live in hell. What do you want? Things need judged in America. Things need to be set in order. America has had mercy and mercy and mercy, and you know what they've done with it? Nothing. Now, I'm going to read to you. Now, I had printed this out before, but I'm going to read part of it to you. The Vision of Kenneth Hagin from 1963. These are the days we're living in. Now, 1963, he was called up to heaven, and the Lord told him, while he was preaching in a church, I listened to the actual video, the audio of this. He was in a church, 1963. This was not released till a couple years ago. They never had released this. And, you know, because when I first saw it here time back, I saw this. I wondered if it was really truly a prophecy of Kenneth Hagin, because it said, I never saw this one before. I never saw it. And I started finding out and found out, yeah, it was. And then they said he had an audio. Well, I want to hear the audio. And there's Kenneth Hagin talking. He was preaching in a church. He had the vision and he told the people after the vision was over, he told the people right there in that church what he saw. He spoke it. So this is what it was. I had printed this out and put it back here. He says, I went as it were up in the air and stood with him. He said, the head of the church, even the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. He said, as I looked down upon the ground, I could see a map laid out before me. He says, the entire nation, all the states of the continental United States. And as I looked, he said, behold, son, and I shall show you that which shall come to pass, and that which your eyes, that the eyes of many shall see, and they shall remember that their ears heard that it shall come to pass. For there came a dark hand up out of the oceans from the east. Now, out of the oceans, lots of times in prophetically, the oceans and things deal with people. It comes out of people. One of the things that the Lord said to Kenneth Hagin about other visions, he said, these kinds of things don't come up out of the church. They come up out of the world. The world has things that they do. The church don't bring these things forth. The church just goes along with it. But they don't bring it up. So this thing's coming up out, he said, rose up into the air and became a dark cloud, and it filled the whole atmosphere. Yea, and it swept in like a storm at sea. And I said, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, what's the meaning of this? And he spake to me and said, Son, this is the darkness of atheistic communism that is sweeping across the nation, even in the minds of men in high places and politicians with great power. And this nation shall now grow more strong, and you shall not have more liberty than you have now. But liberties that you've known and you've seen shall be seized and taken from you. And I looked again, and I could see upon the mountain a blotch, as though a bottle of ink had been spilled and spread out over several states and into the south and east. And when I looked, and I could see spots blotched over the map, and I said, Lord, what meaneth this? And he said, communistic inspired hatred among races shall cause greater turmoil than your nation has seen heretofore. He said, yea, it shall not be the will of God, but men's hearts are perverse, and they will walk without the love of God and seek to have their own way, and it shall be worse than you have seen. And I said, O Lord, is there a remedy? Is there a remedy? What shall the answer be? And he said, evil men and in seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's scripture. That's from the New Testament. You don't hear those things preached today, do you? You don't hear those kind of things said. We don't like those things said. Why? We have our confessions. It's not going to happen. Folks, it's going to happen. There's things that are not going to stop. You're not going to stop people who want to be evil from getting more evil. You can't stop them. But I'll tell you what, one thing we can do, we can walk more in the power and the glory of God. That's what we want to do. The answer to this is the glory of God. The answer is not going on. Well, if we can just get the right person in office, and we can't. I don't know if we'll ever get really the right person in office that are really, you know, we need to understand. We got Jesus Christ. Let's get hooked up with Jesus. Let's stay hooked. Now listen, what he goes on to say here. And then I said, O Lord, do we have nothing to look forward to in the future except the darkness and the blackness, war, destruction, and evil? And he said, Son of man, forget not your text, for you look at the things not seen. And the title of his message, he was preaching that light, looking at the things unseen. See, I want you to get this. Our trouble right now as the United States is the church is mostly all seen people. All we do is look at what we see going on. We see this election. People became discouraged. Why? What they saw happen. You look at what you see happen, I will tell you, it'll just discourage you. See, they're all hoppy and on fire. You know, they're out there with, and show up, you know, where the president's at, and he's giving his fiery speeches, and they're all cheering. And what happens when the election starts to turn and things start to happen? Are they cheering and happy? He's like, oh, no, why? They're tied to what's seen. See, we can't do it. We must stay over in the unseen realm. That's where faith's at. Faith is not based in what, if you follow what you see, then you're going to have what you see. To change any of these things, to change things in America. What did he want us? He said, don't forget your text. And he said this. And so then he said, I looked into the spirit realm. See, he's looking at what you're at. He's looking in the unseen realm. See, this is why you got to look in. Quit going through TV and trying to find the latest prophet and what they said about that. Stop it. Take the time to hear from God yourself. Knock this junk off. Don't do this stuff. People are just doing it like crazy all the time. Trying to find out what somebody said. I have one interest in who's talking. I've done heard my voice. I don't need to hear that again. I need to hear what's God saying to me. What's He speaking? I want to know. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It don't come by hearing the prophet. The prophet can be wrong. He's a man. I'm a man. I can be wrong. You got to hear from God. You have to know if somebody's speaking. Is it God? Go find out. So Brother Hagin used to tell us to go to the Word. Find out from God yourself. People don't. We're lazy. We're just here. Let's listen to what somebody says in the natural, and we're lazy. That's what all this today with all the online stuff, it has done nothing but make us a bunch of lazy, lazy bums sitting around waiting to find out, going online to see what they're saying. I'm not going online. I didn't even pay attention to it. I don't care what they're saying. God done spoke to Ed. I heard from heaven. Hallelujah. And God just wants to set things in order. See, people aren't sure. They're not sure what God wants to do. Is He doing it, or is He trying to, whatever, you know? What is the prophet saying? Thank God. I appreciate the prophet's ministry, but he ain't God. And they've sure been wrong. I've listened to them over this COVID stuff, and they've been as wrong and 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 wrong. Oh, yeah, it's going to be over in May. And was it over in May? No, it wasn't over in May. Yeah, it's going to be over. Yeah. And he had a dream. Well, I'm sure he did. I'm sure the devil gave him a dream. All these people seeing this stuff all the time and they're saying it and it don't work. And they get back on TV and they have them on a show again to go prophesy. Tell us what they saw. What you already saw didn't work. Where's God, you know? It's like, hold it. Well, he said, and so I looked. He said, look to the spirit realm. He said, and I saw falling upon that mountain a ball of fire from heaven. The closer to the earth, the bigger it got. And then when it came to the earth, it divided into small balls or sparks of fire, and it fell upon men. And I saw an army of men rise up. Now, when we talk about men, it's talking about mankind, God's people. It doesn't mean men, male men. You know, the Bible says God created man. You know what man is? Man is male and female. That's what man is. You know, people don't read the Bible. They have their own ideas of what people say. He said, and I saw an army of men rise up, and it seemed as though their hands were fire. And there sat upon their heads a tongue of fire. He said, when I first saw it, it seemed like their whole heads were on fire. But he said, it was tongues of fire leaping. And I said, what meaneth this? And he said, before the worst shall come. Oh my God. I thought before the best would come. I thought for sure it'd be the best was going to come. See, that's, aren't we told that? Jesus told Kenneth Hagin back in 1950. He said, before the worst comes, I'm going to take the church out. He said, I'm going to take before the worst comes. Here he said to this. He said, there will be, he said, the worst shall come and the day of darkness encompass. He said, before the day of darkness encompass. See, we want to talk about the glory of God, but these are parts of things we don't like to see. These are things that we want to hear. He says, there will be those who shall go and who shall carry the fullness of my truth and the fire, not only to the states of this nation, but to the many other places. For there is a work that must be done first spiritually before the Lord shall come. Now prepare ye hearts, for the time is at hand and the beginning is now, and you shall see and you shall know, for the hand of the Lord is upon you, and many of you shall be used in these last days, and the work shall progress. Now these things, there's some things that he said concerning him and his ministry, but these things were spoken to us. You see, there's things coming. The Lord showed me. I mean, I can go back when the Lord started things. He started showing me back in the 1980s and up into the 1990s about America. And one of the things He showed me, I saw this thing of darkness coming out in America. Many of the things I saw where darkness would come are states today that are the really liberal ones and that kind of stuff. This darkness. And He told me, they said there's going to be a great divide in America. It's not going to get better. You know, I just saw this guy, this young guy down in North Carolina. He's a young guy. He's going to be the youngest guy in Congress, youngest man. And he's GOP. Oh, man, this is really exciting. And what he's going to, two things he wants to work on, health care. And the only reason he wants to work on health care is because he's crippled. So now that's all on his mind. If his cripple is stay at home, you're standing for a nation. You know, we don't need another health care thing. We've had enough governmental money, and it ain't doing nothing. And his next thing is this, he's going to bring the partisanship back together. Well, the devil's going to run and rule. I'm going to tell you that. He's going to be in the front runner helping it do, because he wants to get along with everybody. What did it tell us we were supposed to do? What did Paul tell Timothy we're supposed to do about these evil people? Try to get close to them? We're supposed to stay away from them. Well, I thought... Yeah, that's the trouble. You've been thinking. The church knows too little about the Bible. We know we only have sections. The word people only have the sections that they certain things they like to hear and say. We don't like that other part. But both of them exist. And if you can't reconcile them together, you're going to live a false Christianity. You're going to either live in the darkness all the time over here, and you're going to be scared because, oh, look at here. He says all the bad guys are going, all these bad people are going to get worse. Oh, what am I going to do? Follow Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Live a quiet, peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Hallelujah. That's what I'm doing. And they're living like hell. Hey, they can live like hell. I'll live like heaven. Which do you want? No, we fear, we're afraid, you know, and that's all. We gotta change everybody. You ain't changing everybody. There's gonna be more people go off this earth into hell than will go to heaven. Get over it. God didn't determine, they'll determine to do it. Our job is to get the gospel and preach the gospel. Our job is to stand on the truth. Our job is not to change no matter what happens. There's salvation on no other name than the name of Jesus. I will not conform or join with any other group that preaches Jesus alone is salvation to be born again. And if you're not born again, you're not a child of God, you're going to hell. That's just that simple. It's not to be mean, it's the gospel. You must be born again. Good people don't go to heaven. Born again people go to heaven. That's who goes. That's who God establishes good. You're born again. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're in. But you must be born again. You must be a child of God. People got to be born again. They got to be transformed. They must be changed. And so that's where we stand. We as Christians, we're standing. God wants us. We pray and we stand. We want the best. You know, it's like Brother Hagin said, you know, we want to believe the best for people. We want to believe the best. We set to do what we can. But I don't expect everybody. You know, if you expect everybody. Brother Hagin used to tell us, you preach like everybody's going to get saved. But he said, we know full well everybody ain't getting saved. He said, you preach like everybody's going to get healed, but not everybody's getting healed. But see, we put it out there. We think everybody preach like you. You know, you preach with a confidence like everybody's going to want it. Knowing this, not everybody's going to want it. But I'm going to tell you, you got to preach it in a way that you really like it. I don't know today. I mean, I get around Christians, like Mike said, you know, people come around, oh my God, the election. You get Christians coming around whining. You think, dear God, Jesus didn't die. Jesus never lost the election. To them, he did, because the natural is more important. Their Christianity is so weak. We got to stop this stuff. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to believe for the best. I hope the guys are all right that are all saying that, you know, this thing is going to get straightened out and Trump in. I'll tell you what, anybody's on for that. I am. But you know what? God didn't tell me it will happen, but this it is. He didn't tell me it wouldn't. So I'm going to keep pushing in that direction till he tells me different. But folks, understand this. If it doesn't change, it matters not in my Christianity. I'll tell you what, I'm more than a conqueror. Glory to God. And I'll tell you, there's a fireball heading toward the earth. Glory to God. And that fireball is going to fall on Ed. Hallelujah. I had a prophet. I know it. I've been praying. And when Rand McGuire spoke over me, he said, everything you pray is going to come to pass. I never told him anything about what I prayed. But I knew what I prayed. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I'm a rising up. It doesn't matter what happens in the election. I'm a rising up. Glory to God. I got a vote that's bigger than any because I got God behind me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's behind me. God's on my side. Hallelujah. God's joined together with me. We want some political party. Dear Lord, they've been so lazy and everything else and cheating and lying scumbags telling us all this stuff they're going to do and don't do it. I mean, the GOP has been so full of a bunch of liars. I mean, those guys before Trump got in office, they voted something like 20-some times to remove Obamacare. And as soon as they could do it, they voted against it. And I used to tell people, when they get a chance, if they get a chance to vote on that, they'll never pass it. They're doing that to stay in office. They're trying to get us to like them and give them their vote. I'm fed up with these people up to here. We have God, guy that God put in office, and I never heard such silence. Their party, most of them wouldn't even be in office today if it wasn't for him. And those scumbags, and their silence. And it amazes me, is Lindsey Graham is the only one that's opened his mouth. Now Lindsey Graham, back in the beginning when he got in, Lindsey Graham was against him. But Lindsey Graham admitted he did wrong. I never heard the rest of them ever open their mouth. They're like the preachers. Saying the wrong stuff. We've missed it with God. Let's get over it. The high and light. No, Lord God, we're hooking up with you in this thing and we're on you. Lord God, if I missed it anywhere, I miss it. You just show me, I'd repent in a second. Lord God, I will do what you want me to do. It doesn't matter. It's not about my ego and it's not about me. It's about the destiny of people in this world. And I'm going to tell you, too many ministers don't care. They love their ministries. They love their positions. They love their stuff. No, this is about reaching a world. Thank God for every one of them that's concerned. But there's too many that don't. Judgment needs to come to the house of God. There needs to be a straightening out in the church. The faithless need to become fearful of being so faithless. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to be easy in these last days on the faithless Christians. It's going to get worse and worse for them. And many, you're going to see them just back off. They're going to back off. Because their fair weather God that they serve ain't the God of the Bible. My faith is for in the time of the flood. It's for in the time of the war. It's in the time of the hurricane. That's what my faith's about. My faith is about when trouble comes and I stand up and my God stands up with me. Hallelujah. And the word of God upholds me. Hallelujah. That's what it's about. It's not about, oh, everything turns out good, so nothing bad happens to me. And I just, oh, my words, I hope nothing goes wrong. Oh, my words. Oh, what are they going to do about this election? Oh, this and that. They did bad things. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? What are we going to do? You didn't have a plan beforehand? Forget it now. The storm's already here, you whiner. Jump ship today. Don't stay on the boat and drown the rest of us. Get off. Hallelujah. See, you might say it just sounds unkind, but nobody has told these Christians. We have patted them and petted them and not dealt with them about their godlessness and their faithlessness toward God. Running around asking other people to pray for them all the time when they don't even pray for themselves. When they don't stand from God, they don't darken the door of a church and problem comes, then they run, oh, pray for me and do this and that and the other thing. No, the Bible says you're in trouble, pray. Look what James said. Did you read what James said about praying when you're in trouble? He said, you pray. He didn't say, go, good, somebody else do for it. You get in trouble, you pray. If they ain't going to pray, I ain't praying with them either. It don't do any good to pray for people who don't do it. That's what they use as prayer chain became, prayer chain stuff's become. Getting people to pray for somebody who don't pray for themselves. Get somebody else to get it for me. You know, I prayed 2 minutes the other day. Say, gee, man, a prayer chain. We can get 100 people start to pray for me. Because, don't you know I'm so busy? See, we need a shaking in the church. Those people need to become fearful to be so ungodly and abuse the church. But they don't. They aren't scared. They aren't afraid to abuse God. They aren't afraid to do that stuff anymore. Because we've been trained. Yeah, it's okay. Because, see, I'll pray for them. I'm such a spiritual person. I will be your God. Just come and serve me. I don't want to be your God. I have enough trouble with me. Hallelujah. You got a God. You go to Him, He likes you enough to respond to you. He loves you enough to hear your cry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you can go to Him and He'll talk to you as fast as He'll talk to me or any prophet or anybody. He'll talk to you. You're His child. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you don't have to weary Him either. Glory to God. You don't have to stand around and beg. He said He'll respond to you quickly. Glory to God. See, I believe the church will rise up in this last day. I believe that the church rise up and calls for justice and judgment. And God, we want this thing. We want things put back in order again. I don't care who's in president. If we have no justice or judgment, it's all worth spit. I want justice. I want judgment. Bring judgment into this earth to set things back in order, that justice will prevail again. I want it. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose. I want things set in order, God. We're tired. The righteous, the good are oppressed, and the evil are exalted in this nation. And the voices of the leaders are silent. Lord God, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. We want justice. Hallelujah. If our prayer life is so great, can't we change it even if Biden makes president? See, this is what I want these people to know. See, there's a faithlessness. You can only get it to work if it's a certain guy. You see, it didn't do them any good to pray, because you know why? If Biden gets in, they'll never pray for him for 2 minutes. They'll just hate his guts and... Oh, yeah. It won't work then, our prayers. See, prayers won't work then. They only work if it's certain people. See, we got a lot messed up. The church got a lot messed up, and we need to get things back in order. I don't care who's in office. God's God. His word stands forever. Hallelujah. He has to take care of me or he's a liar. And it's impossible for him to lie. It's impossible for him to lie. And believe me, I just leave with it. I hope with all my heart these people are right about this thing and this thing gets set in order. Because I'll tell you what, there is injustice. And it is. Downright injustice going on. And we know what it is, you know. You have over 100,000 votes all of a sudden just show up, you know. They were out there. They were somewhere, I think, you know, wherever. They're somewhere over the rainbow. And they just happened to find it. And, you know, God just found a bag. And he just brought it. And you know, you have over 100,000 votes. And they just, everybody, not one person from that area wanted Donald Trump. Everybody wanted Biden. Now, you know, these things. I mean, you talk about it. Now, this is definitely Alice in Wonderland stuff. And they want you to believe it. And if it goes just to naturally how things is going, the Department of Justice ain't going to do nothing. They ain't going to do a thing. If it goes like they have been doing, they won't do a thing. The Department of Justice right now under William Barr, their investigations take so long, the guys, the people that have the problem, they'll be dead before they ever get to go to court. They'll die of old age. Because it is the longest, you know, we gotta, you know, people. I mean, just think about this, folks. Comey admitted to breaking the law of giving out information, which is illegal to do, which there is literally people in jail for doing it. And they have not arrested him. And he's done it. He's admitted it. They have to do an investigation. The videotape of him saying it to Congress isn't good enough. We need an investigation. Now, if I committed a crime and it was on tape, do you think that William Barr would wait 2 seconds having Ed Gibson arrested? I mean, if he thought I did, he would have me arrested. And we're doing an investigation. You're trying to figure out how to hide this thing. We're trying to figure out how to keep things out. We're going to go through the things. But I tell you what, we need to get God involved in this. See, we haven't. We have complained about these things, and we thought we voted a man in office that would get it fixed. But you need to understand, he's a man like we are, and he's in the same boat. He's in the same boat we're in. If God don't move, if God don't drop a meteor out of heaven on some heads, it ain't going to change, folks. Destruction must come. Judgment. There must be judgment. The wicked must be punished. If they're not, there is no justice. There's no justice. I want it shaken up. I want Washington to fall apart. I want Washington to fall apart. Democrats and Republicans, I want it to fall apart. I want it to become dangerous to be called representative or senator. That you have a target on your back from God. Till somebody stands up to do what's right. You know, there are ones who will, but they're such a minority. They're such a minority. And they run in fear, and it's afraid. It's like, you know, if you got to get to the point where you're not afraid, or just stay out. And that's the same way with Christians. These last days, Christianity is not for the nominal Christian. It's going to be hard for the nominal Christian. It's going to be weary days. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you this. It's not going to be weary days for me. Hallelujah. These are the days of the anointing and the hand of God upon men. And fire again will burn in the church of Jesus Christ. And the glory of God will be revealed to the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'll tell you, there'll become a fear again to mess with the church. Because the judgment of God will fall on people who do. We don't like this thing, but there's people going to drop dead who are going to mess with the church and are going to drop dead. They're going to die. Every revival that's happened, people will drop dead. There are leaders who will drop dead who will mess with the church. When the glory's on the church right now, that stuff don't happen. Because if judgment fell on them, it'd fall on the church too, and there'd be a bunch of Christians that die along with it. But when the glory is revealed in the church, it is something not to mess with. If you study revival, they had all kinds of things in revival, things that had happened. Back in 1950s, the mayor of Miami dropped dead. Fighting against the revivalists were down there. They tried to get them arrested for practicing medicine without a doctor. And the mayor down there is a big deal. He went and arrested the guy and then died. And the rest of the city council found out that that wasn't a very good thing to do. We ought to let this guy go. Amy Semple McPherson was preaching in a tent. There was a guy that this reporter would always write bad stuff about her. And he'd follow her around and he'd do that. And she was in a tent preaching and he's standing outside. Laughing and mocking her, and instantly went insane. Went completely insane, never recovered, died and went to hell. When the church comes in line, I'm going to tell you what, and that's what God wants to bring the church in line, because then, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. It's a God who you can count on. You have a daddy who will stand up for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. They can come and do their stuff, but they're going to answer to Dad. I'm not going after them. I'm not going to go after these people that are doing this in our nation. I'm going after God, and I'm standing before God and say, God, you see with your eyes. You said in your word. This is what you would do. I'm calling on you, Lord God, to fulfill your word. Lord, we want justice. If you ever look in the Bible how much is said about judgment and justice, which is an unpreached subject in the church world, that's why the Christians know nothing about it. Because it's considered a negative message. So all the positive preachers never preach it and don't realize it's a positive message. That if the church don't understand it and can't walk it. In fact, Ken Kasich's writing a book right now. He's putting a book together on that subject. David said he loved the judgments of God. He loved them. Who ever heard such a thing? How many preachers did you ever have say they love the judgments of God? You know, we have preachers today talking, they love the Constitution. They say, oh, they'll preach, oh, we don't need to follow the Constitution. That's what the judgment of God's about. It's about following the Word of God, and it's about people following it, being judged whether they do or they don't. It's the same thing. Oh, they love the natural. They love American Constitution, but they don't love the Bible. No wonder things don't work. We're to love the judgments of God. It's about bringing things back into order. There's no judgment. There'll never be justice. Thank God. Hallelujah. God has a plan for us. Glory to God. Before we go today, we're going to take an offering for our missionaries. Hallelujah. Help them preach the gospel. Glory to God. Our missionaries, the ministries we support is a wonderful thing we get to do. Hallelujah. It is wonderful to know that we can do this.